Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When we can allow ourselves to feel silly and vulnerable and foolish at times, then we're in a good space. And so she responds to the positive. When you yell at her, she doesn't know, what are you yelling at me? She doesn't get it because dogs are in the moment. Animals are in the moment.
Welcome to Change Your Mindset podcast, where it's all about believing in and executing on different and innovative ways to strengthen both your leadership and communication skills to help increase your success, and especially in today's disruptive business environment. One of the most effective ways of building stronger leadership and communication skills is by embracing the principles of improvisation. Yes, that's right, improv. Your host, Peter Margaritis, is an improv virtuoso. He's also a certified speaking professional and a CPA, also known as the accidental accountant. Each episode of Change Your Mindset is designed to bring you different and innovative ideas, thoughts, and behavioral changes on a variety of differing topics, with the sole purpose of strengthening your critical soft skills. We may call them soft skills, but they are the hardest to master. And when we do, greater success and growth is the result. So jump in and start changing your mindset now. Let's start the show.
My guest today is Jay Succo, who is the master of improvisation, my improv coach, and he wrote the preface to my book, Off Script, Mastering the Art of Business Improv. Jay navigates the unpredictable world of improv and shares his insights, hilarious stories, and moments of gratitude and empathy along the way. Jay will discuss on how to be present in the moment, how to be grateful for what you have, and to be empathetic towards others. So sit back, relax, and get ready for a good time as we embrace the uncertainty, express gratitude, and have some laughs along the way. Before we get to the interview, just a few housekeeping things to take care of. Off Script, Mastering the Art of Business Improv is available for purchase on Amazon in paperback and Kindle versions. If you want to learn more about the book or order a copy, go to offscriptimprov.com and order your copy by clicking the click to order button. If you want to buy 10 or more books, please contact me and I'll offer you a bulk discount. You can reach me through my email at peter@petermargaritis.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast platform. Also, please subscribe to and share this podcast episode with a friend. Also, please visit my YouTube channel, Peter A. Margaritis, CSP, CPA, Biz Improv Virtuoso, where you can see previous podcast video episodes along with this one. And while you're there, just hit the subscribe button so you won't miss any updates.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
This episode is sponsored by Peter A. Margaritis, LLC, also known as the Accidental Accountant. Are you looking for a speaker that can bring powerful content, virtually or in person or on-site, that is memorable and engaging in a way that motivates and inspires your audience? Instead of data dumping and numbing with numbers, imagine your people and teams delivering a financial story to your stakeholders, a story that creates engaging and relationship-building business conversations. Would you be interested in learning more about how that is accomplished? How would you feel if the value your facilitator provided your organization far exceeded the dollar amount on their invoice? Peter Margaritis, CPA and certified speaking professional, delivers all of the above and much, much more. All of Peter's programs can be done virtually, in person and on site at your location, or at an off-site venue. Send Peter a note at peter@petermargaritis.com and or visit his website at www.petermargaritis.com to learn more about what Peter can bring to your next conference, management retreat, or workshop.
Now, let's get to the interview with Jay Succo. Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is going to be a real fun interview. My friend, can I call you a good friend?
Why would you not?
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Of course.
It's been a couple months since we've chatted.
Yes.
So my good friend Jay Suko, who is also my improv coach, who's also wrote the foreword to my book Off Script. So for anything, you need to pick up, because he has a really funny foreword that he wrote. And by the way, that's why I left Ohio, because you couldn't remember if I lived in Cleveland or Columbus. That's why I'm now in Oklahoma and I'm in Stillwater.
What's the difference? Cleveland, Columbus. It's the same, right?
Stillwater. Where do you live, Pete? In Oklahoma City or Tulsa? No. Yeah. No, we're going to go again. So, Jay, thanks for taking time out of your... Jay lives out in Los Angeles, and it's January 11th that we're recording this. And he's got some leakage in the house because of all the rain. So thank you for taking time out, because I know you got a lot of other stuff going on.
You're welcome. Thank you, Peter. I'm moving buckets as we speak to try and deal with this. And it is an unexpected challenge. Living in a city that there's no rain, there's a drought for a decade or more. And I also heard, even though we've got a lot of rain here, it's still not going to really do anything for the drought because it's that severe. But right now we're not sure where things are coming from. We're not sure when the next rain is. There's a lot of uncertainty. We're not sure if it's how it's going to be fixed. We still are we have to get in to look. So they're like, we're going to have to poke around in the garage. And it's like, okay, you don't have that certainty of, I know what the problem is. And even when you do, there's still no guarantee, right? So I feel like it's such a metaphor, especially this time of year with transitioning from December into January. And we spend a lot of time at the end of the year contemplating what happened in the past 11 months. And we start thinking about the things we didn't do. And then January brings resolutions, which brings some anxiety and stress, and then we go, oh, I didn't do it. So there's this time of year especially, there's a lot happening for everyone.
Absolutely. And this year, for my resolutions, I decided I'm not going to make any resolutions for a change.
Rebel.
I know, right? It's like, okay, I need to lose 10 pounds, but I can do that on my own. I don't need to make a resolution for that or this or that or whatever, or I need to exercise more. I just need to just quit talking about it and do it.
Yeah. And looking at it like I feel like previously we have resolutions and they're like punishments, and they're like, and then you punish yourself for not achieving that punishment. And right. And in a way, if we can just reframe it to be like, I don't know if it's goals or like maybe even just a new term of like, this is the direction I'm headed this year. And why do you want to lose 10 pounds? Right. Like, what is the reason behind it? And what are you, it goes back to our shared interest of improv is like, what are you looking forward to? How do you reframe it in a positive way to be like, oh, I don't have to lose 10 pounds. I get to, and I'm going to do it doing these steps, or I have a wonderful success rate of reaching out to people who have done what I want and be like, how'd you do it? Like just asking them. So having those thoughts of like, what do I want to do? How do I want to change? How do I want to be healthier? You know, having that and saying, okay, that's something I want to aim towards this year.
And the world of improv allows us to do that much more freely than others, I believe, and interacting with folks, because a lot of times we get stuck into yesterday, get stuck into last year, when we're not going back to that.
Well, we spend our lives, most of us, we regret the past and we fear the future.
Right.
And we aren't here. And whether it's improv, religion, philosophy, I think we all speak the same language of like, how do we get to this moment right now? How do we stay in this moment when I'm thinking, I got a contractor coming later. Oh, I hate contractors. They're going to get me.
Right.
Right. Cause I don't know anything about contracting. And so it's like, that's happening. Oh, I'm worried about, is there damage based on what's happened? So I'm not really all the time present. And like what the magic is having this moment with you. We have not talked for a few months.
Right.
We have these great conversations. And so it's like, how do we reset ourselves to be focused on this moment right now and block out those other things or set them aside as we're having these conversations?
And I think a lot of people focus on things they have no control over.
It's fun.
Oh, you should see his face we just did
that. It's always successful. It's fun. And you're right. It's something that distracts us, right? We want to have that control because it gives us a false sense of safety. So I'm going to control these, but you can't control anything. No,
you can control being present. That's about it.
If you have the tools also to know how to do it. A lot of us, I don't think, at least for me personally, I was never brought up with like, let's talk about being present. Let's give you these tools to, it was not that. It was, I had the P word, Peter, and it's not Peter, it's potential. I had that P word from early on. So it's always, you have a potential, which is a future promise. So you've got this, if you're going to live up to the potential, and when you don't, then, now I'm feeling guilt and shame about not living up to that. I love Brené Brown. I've been reading Brené Brown a lot, and you know, guilt is I did wrong. Shame is I am wrong. And so I think that's great. And it goes back to that conditioning growing up. And when you're a kid, everything's present. Everything's in the moment. So I think it's innately within us. But I think as we get older, that gets pushed aside for you didn't do this. You should do this. Don't forget this is happening. And, you know, even talking about what college are you going to? How are you going to save for the future? What's your retirement like? Oh, don't go. You got married once. Don't get married a second time. Like all of those things, which I went through. It's like I went through a lot when I went through a divorce. And it's like, what am I going to do? And it's hard not to think about the things in the past,
right?
And then apply that to the future, or have, it's fun to have this narrative in your head. And then you apply everything to that narrative and you're like, see, I knew it, versus like, what a wonder this is to be sitting here. You and I having a conversation across the country through this technology. We're talking over Zoom, which I 3 years ago, I had no idea what Zoom was. Was like, I'm not going to use, I didn't use FaceTime. I didn't use any of that. Yeah. Now we have a moment where we can have this conversation. We have a slot in our schedules where this worked out. So this is, to me, the key to life is like these moments and stacking up as much of a memory of these moments as possible and really embracing them. So there is silver lining in this uncertainty of the pandemic we're still in. And those silver linings are like, try to take every one of these moments and really just appreciate them.
Yeah. And recognizing that those moments and appreciating them are still hard for other people.
100%.
But it's how do you change that mindset of a group of people who don't look at, I mean, so what's going on in California? And my brother lives in Laguna Beach. All the amount of rain and the amount of destruction that's happening, it's really easy to go down that very, very negative path. How do you avoid that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, you're right. And it's not, you know, I think people mistake positivity or having that outlook is like ignoring what's happening. And it's not really that. It's what you can work on is what's your response to these situations. Mm-hmm. And how do you change somebody's mind or a group of people's minds? Man, as soon as you can find the answer to that, you'll be unlimited in your monetary wealth. But you can't really do it. You can't change their mind. What you can do is you can change your mind. You can use like working out at a gym. You work out mentally and emotionally. I think that's a big part of it, is working your emotional muscle. And then people start to see how you are and they become interested and they might make a change based on that. You might have an impact on somebody you don't even realize. Sometimes we have impact on people and we don't even realize it. And we go into a room as facilitators and we might have less of an impact in that room because people aren't ready for the information. They might've already closed their mind. They might not be in a space willing to learn or be open to hearing what you have to say. They might look at me and say, I've seen your face. You've a lot of dudes looking like you have talked to me. So I'm shutting this off. Right. And it's like, absolutely. Yeah. And so you can offer this, and if people are open for it, absolutely, their change can happen. And you start with, what can I do differently? And we talked about this many times too, about like, I got to check my personal biases. I got to look at what I've been doing in the past. What isn't working anymore? Can I be affected, and can I change based on what I see from other people and what I learned? So I can have a control over that, in that sense of giving myself more tools, but I don't have control. And we talked about this too. We don't have control over a lot of things. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, people sometimes mistake acceptance as being weak, or like, oh, well, like you become a victim. Acceptance isn't a victim by any means. Accepting is, this is the situation. Now, how do I want to respond to it? And sometimes we don't accept the situation, whether that's with a significant other, family, a job, a friend, your pet, the house you're in. Sometimes we don't want to accept it, and then we're just struggling and fighting. And when you accept it, then you can make a change based on that.
So how is the dog, by the way, when you mentioned pet? Oh. I have to go off script here for a second. Plug.
Great book. love it. I've read that book, by the way, and off script. Chef's kiss. We found out she's a pit bull St. Bernard mix. We got her. She was a rescue, and they said, oh, she's 40 pounds. She won't get bigger, really. We don't think this about it. And she's 80 pounds. We just went to the vet. Went yesterday. She had to get her doggy flu vaccine, which I didn't even know that there's a doggy flu.
Yeah.
And she's great. And it's, do you know what she responds to more than anything? If you want to correct her behavior, it's not yelling at her.
Right. Right.
It's not hitting her in the bum with a newspaper. It's not yelling at her in a stern voice. It's positive reinforcement. And for her, it's treats. So if you want her to do something, positive reinforcement, your voice in a loving way. And sometimes you feel foolish, and that's fine. You're like, oh, good work, Tessa. Good work. But it's for the benefit of her.
Yeah.
And when we can allow ourselves to feel silly and vulnerable and foolish at times, then we're in a good space. And so she responds to the positive. When you yell at her, she doesn't know, why are you yelling at me? She doesn't get it, because dogs are in the moment. Animals are in the moment. They don't know 2 seconds ago. They just know right now. So if you're giving them rewards, whether it's verbal rewards or for her, it's snacks, they respond. They go, I'm going to do more of that. And I think humans in a way are like that too. It's like that positive affirmation, even positive feedback. We don't give that enough. How many jobs have you had where you've had more positive feedback than negative? People think you have to have this critical feedback. And again, times are changing. So what served us before isn't working now. So positive reinforcement, letting people know what they do well, letting them know you appreciate them. Those are all skills we can continue to work on. But we will see growth. We see people change when they have that positive feedback.
Well, that positive feedback back in the day was like I said, few and far between. Because when you made a mistake, it was like the earth was coming to an end.
But you knew it was a mistake. You knew it, right?
Right, right. You knew it was a mistake. So if everybody could just chill and say, okay, what did you learn from this?
Yes.
And what won't you do again? That in itself versus the criticism and the finger pointing and everything else, that just creates a very hostile work environment.
And
everybody fails because we're human beings.
Yes. And take it that step further of, yes, what won't you do again? But reframe it to, what are you going to do again? Like, give the instruction of what to do, not what not to do, right? I think we do that a lot. We go like, don't do this. And then your brain, all your brain thinks about is doing that. Whatever that thing is, that's what your brain thinks about going towards. So if it's like, don't yell, your brain's thinking, yell. Like that's just what happens. But if you reframe it to say, what do you want people to do? Instead of yelling, what do you want them to do? Well, use a quieter voice. Great. Give that note, give that feedback. And I think for a long time, there was value in stern rebuke. There was value in, I have to give this constructive feedback. And then when you get a reward, it's few and far between. It means more. And I think that's just not, we've seen that's just not true.
Yeah. My little league baseball coach would tell me, don't strike out.
Well, what are you thinking of?
Striking out.
That's all you're thinking of. But if your little league coach says, I want you to swing hard.
Yeah.
and you swing hard, whether you get a hit or not is irrelevant. So like, right. just swing hard, or, you know, I want you to stand up there and take a couple pitches. Now you have something to do versus don't do this. And then you do it and you're like, oh man. So you're already in your head thinking about what not to do.
I'm trying to remember. I've heard a story about this, about a baseball team, and I don't know if they got a new coach or whatever, but the coach approached it a different way with him. He said, okay, we need you to get a hit. You're going to stand up there and I'm positive that you're going to get a hit versus don't strike out. And for the most part, the kids would get a hit. Now, was it an out? Possibly, but they didn't strike out.
They made contact. You said get a hit. You didn't say don't get out. You said get a hit and I hit the ball.
And you hit the ball. And if you keep that mentality, because I remember I used to stand up going, I was afraid to strike out. That's the thing. Yeah.
And think about now what's happening as you get older and as you get into the business world, and that fear of striking out metaphorically, or that fear of not delivering, all of that permeates, and now it engulfs you. And now you're just afraid, and you're living in this sense of fear, and you're living in the state of like, I just got to do enough right now to not get yelled at, to not get fired. So I don't think we're allowing ourselves that same kind of opportunity to have growth. And I don't think you grow by being yelled at. I think you grow by feeling supported and heard.
Well, that kind of goes down the path of psychological safety and creating that type of environment in a workforce, because you just described it to a T. Quit yelling at people and let people make mistakes, let people speak their mind in a collegiate kind of a way, but allow them that latitude, that opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And not punish them for what they've said, because a lot of times all they want to know is what's between our ears.
Yeah.
But we're afraid to say, because it could be a career limiting move. Now, there are some things 100%. You should never say that I think we're all smart enough to know what those things are. When someone asks your opinion, you should be able to give it without any pushback.
Absolutely. And that's, I think we're headed towards there. I think, though, there is a, what happens and then what really happens. What do we say in business and what is allowed? Like, I think we're pushing it slowly towards, yes, we want to hear what you have to say. Yes, you know, you've heard this phrase, bring your whole self to work. And it's like, that's not accurate. There are people who have a privilege that can do that, but there are some people who can't do it. And it's not something that is followed through or addressed or opened. And so it stays in that state. So I think it's taking a moment to have these resets and redirections to say, like, are you really meaning what you said? You know, during the pandemic, we had a lot of focus on like diversity and inclusion. Mm-hmm. And I think what I've seen is a lot of places are like, okay, we're past that point now. We're past the pandemic. So we can kind of slide back into the way things were. It's a muscle. You have to constantly be working that inclusion muscle and the diversity muscle, and they're different muscles too. So I like, in one sense, of where we're headed. I also think we have a lot of room to improve and really start to give a voice to those who need that voice and leave space for that. And I think, you know, 10, 15, 5 years ago, we didn't even think of that. We didn't think of the term psychological safety. We didn't see that as of value. And now it's like, no, that's probably the most value right now. And we're starting to get there, but I think it has to be started early on in youth, in our schools, and become an important part of the curriculum, as important as math or science or English or language. And then start to include like this, is because that emotional side, we are emotional beings who think. We're not thinkers who feel. We're feelers first. We are emotion-filled beings who happen to think. So we need to caress that and care for that as much as we do of any of the other leadership qualities. You know, we used to look at leadership qualities as like how you manage people. And now it's like we have to look at it as how you lead people. You know, what's the saying? We have a lot of, we're training a bunch of managers, but not a lot of leaders. So we need to include that whole part of everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were telling the story, that something popped in my head, and I'd be damned if it didn't pop back out of my head. I had to go back and find that. I was present. I was listening to it, but it's just something I didn't. And that's part of being present. You want to be fully into the conversation, but you get these little thoughts that pop into your head. I got to save that. but I'm listening to you. It's like, oh, it went away. That's never happened to you, right?
No. I'm absolutely perfect at this. And you find that balance too. You find that balance of, I want to add and connect to this. I want to sit back and listen. You know, we think you're telling a story. I want to connect with you. So therefore I want to tell my story. And sometimes that comes off as I'm trying to one-up you, even though that's not my intent.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, oh, I have to notice as the person speaking, I'm going to give a pause here. Yeah. Peter, my dad, I'm looking in your eyes. You've got something to say. Let's hear it. And sometimes it's like, oh, it's gone. It might never come up. It might sometimes later. It's gone. I'm going to refocus and come back into the conversation.
I will say, I think part of it has to do with age, because as I've gotten older, I've walked into rooms. I've walked out of a room and going, where was I going? Yeah. And it's getting worse.
Lucky you.
And I'm sitting there thinking, sometimes I'm thinking, do you have too much on your mind that you're not present, you're not focused enough, or just forget what I'm...
All of the above. And you walk in and you're like, I've forgotten, I'm distracted, I can't remember. I mean, and it happens. What I've become aware of is I have a tendency to make big jumps of, oh no, I have brain cancer, or oh no, I have Alzheimer's. I don't go short. I go real big. I go up, and it's like, no, I have to remind myself it does happen. It doesn't mean I have to say I always do this. It just is like, oh, I forgot what I came in here for.
We call that being Greek.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
I got a headache. It's a tumor. It's got to be a tumor. Yeah. You need to go see a doctor about that.
Because you are thinking worst case scenario. Your brain's like, I have to hijack this situation right now. And because it's the worst case, I am wired to protect you. So it is, you got to go right now to the doctor, right? That's what we do. And it hijacks to save you. That's what it's thinking it's doing. And really it's like, hold on a second. Let me take a breath here. It's not that. Let me just take a moment, and you kind of reclaim that emotional hijack.
Well, I shared with you that last year on my birthday, I started getting this irregular heartbeat. And I've had some heart issues in the past, but I couldn't get it under control. And at one point, I was checking my pulse, and it was going about 150 to 160 beats a minute. And I'm sitting there going, I'm going to have a heart attack right here, right now, and I'm going to die, and I won't be able to dial 911. Well, I was able to dial 911, and they came out, and the guy... The paramedics come in, and they put the little things on me, and they go, well, I can tell you this, you're not going to die today. Have you ever had AFib before? And I went, no. He says, well, that's what you have. You have your heart beats out of it feels like you're having a heart attack, but you're not. You're not going to die today. And then something in my head said, how does he know that? It would stop. Just stop. But he goes, this is a classic sign. And your heart will eventually come back into that rhythm. But the thing that you get, you know, you won't have a heart attack because of this, but because of the irregularity of the heart rate and stuff, you might be susceptible for strokes. I went, okay, you could have held that one back a little bit longer, but that's fine. But it's like we are, you know, and then as I'm waiting, I'm on the phone with the 911 person, she's staying on the line with me, and I can hear the sirens coming. I'm going, okay, how do I tell my mother? How do I? And then what I got to do before? And all of a sudden, I guess your life somewhat passes in front of you. I don't think mine did, but weird thoughts were coming about. And it's like, okay, Pete, calm down. But
And also, hey, Pete, this makes sense. I'm having these thoughts, right? Telling yourself, I'm human. I'm having these thoughts. My brain is trying to protect me. And so it's going to this scenario. Absolutely. And you look at this and to tie it back into those positive choices. Now we can look at it this like, oh my gosh, I am destined to have a stroke. My life is over.
Right.
Or we look at it and
Greek
go,
again.
or we look at it and go, this is just data. This is just information. I'm attaching emotion behind it because I'm a human. And so I can say, I am grateful for the information, knowing I'm at risk of having a stroke, knowing that this is AFib, knowing that this, so you can, it's not ignoring things. It's putting them in a different light and saying, okay, I'm thankful this happened now. I mean, could you imagine if it didn't happen now, down the road, you're like, well, if I had known.
Well, I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, I wasn't in class, because that would have been.
Yes.
That would have been another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, somebody's got to call 911. That would have just been a bigger episode or mm-hmm. stress induced piece and, or even being on an airplane.
Yeah. And yeah. you could take these moments and say, I can't think of it. I'm surrounded right now with a lot of things. I have a lot of stuff happening in my life yeah. and it's very depressing. And, you know, and that happens for sure. And so maybe in the moment, you don't have that ability right now to think this is a positive mm-hmm. thing happening right now. There are times you can reflect back and say, okay, that is why that happened. Mm-hmm. That was the good reason. We're all at this point, we're going to survive these situations. We have already. And you look at kind of the past and say, I'm having a freak out right now about this information. Mm-hmm. What's happened before? That's a good predictor of the yeah. future. I'm uncertain about work. Mm-hmm. Oh no, I'm uncertain about work. Therefore, I'm going to be homeless and I'm going to end up on the streets and I'm going to get addicted to something. I'm going to die. Okay. Well, that hasn't happened. And for some people who have, they've recovered from that mm-hmm. for sure. But you say, all right, I've been employed. I am mm-hmm. employable. I'm going through a time right now. I'm accepting the fact that I'm going through a time right now that's very stressful. Look at that. So I give it a little, I name it. I take a little power away from it. Now I'm able to continue and move forward. But we need those moments to take a pause and say, this is just happening now. There was a great phrase. Whenever you have a stress about your life, I'm not seeing someone. I'm not, you know, I'm not in a relationship. I'm not in the right job. I'm not in a good place, a living place. Add the two words for now at the end. It changes everything. For now.
For now.
I'm not in a good place for now. You know, this is just happening right now. Doesn't mean it's always going to be this way. I'm just experiencing it right now. And then yeah. it just, you're working on reframing these messages that mm-hmm. have built up over years and decades. And coming from not you in the beginning, they came from someone else. You right. know, those bad voices in your head about yeah. you. Didn't yeah. come from you. You came out into this world like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then we get these voices in our head that were put by other people that said, you're not good enough. You should be farther along. You should live up to your potential. All these voices get in our head that were not put there by us.
So you're talking about these voices in our heads. And basically, it's that inner critic.
Yes.
And in the book I did write, I named my inner critic.
Yes.
His name is Nick.
Yes.
Good Greek name, Nick. You know, Nick, hey, Nico, you got to go put some tape over your mouth here because I'm tired of listening to you. But by giving it a face and name, it makes it real. And then you can have those real conversations with, okay, Nick, everything's okay. Just go back in your cubbyhole and just go eat some feta cheese and some black
coffee. Yes. Yeah. And you could say, hey, Nick, I expected you to show up. You're right on time.
Yeah.
You're right on time. I'm very anxious. This is where you pop up. You're very strong. You've been honed. I'm still going to do this thing. Come along with me. I know you're here. I know I'm nervous. I'm scared. You're right on time. So I'm not fighting with that. And that's something, I think it was Bill Hader. He was talking about anxiety. He was a performer on SNL and he's an actor. And he talked about having this anxiety. And he's a guy who you look at and you're like, this guy's so good at being in front of people live in this comedy show. And it's like, he was suffering anxiety the whole time. And he named his anxiety monster. And he's like, oh, there you are. I expected you to show up. I'm still doing this. And that's, you know, we're in the state of looking for tools to help during these situations. You pull out a tool and you're like, I'm going to try this. And if that works, you go, great, I'm going to try it again. But one of the big tools for me is like acceptance. It doesn't mean you're a victim. It's just, I'm accepting this is the circumstance for now. Right. And I'm dealing with something I'm dealing with a lot of emotions right now. It's the, especially right now as we talk, it's the new year. You look at your calendar and you're like, oh, I don't know if I have enough work or I don't know if I have enough connection or if you're, you know, single, oh, I don't have somebody and here's another year. You know, you have a lot of this happening and you have to go, it's just uncertain time of the year. I know the end of the year into the new year gets very uncertain. So my anxiety can be a little bit more. So I just have to realize that. I have to take more moments to close my eyes and breathe.
Yeah.
Take a moment to visualize how I'm going to come out of this. Think about the things, you know, this is nothing new. Think about the things you're grateful for. You know, sometimes the year I have to write down a gratitude list every day, and I write three things down, and it's like, here are the three things I'm grateful for. And I sometimes go kicking and screaming and do the writing those things and doing those things. But it's like anything. Sometimes you just need a little nudge.
Absolutely. I like that, the gratitude list, writing the three things that you're thankful for, grateful for.
Yeah. And just that's it. And don't spend too, you know, if you're having a hard time with it, set a timer for yourself. I'm going to give myself 2 minutes.
Yeah.
A timer, deadlines help with a lot of stuff. So
right.
I had 2 minutes. I'm going to write down. And if I write down the same three things, great. It's not about the picking the correct ones or the perfect ones. It's about doing it. Just do it.
Yeah. Before we started this conversation, we were talking about things like this. Just sometimes you just got to do it. Sometimes you got to get on the bike and you got to ride it.
Yeah. We talk about it. We can really get caught up in the size of the bike, the color of the bike, how pedals work, and what favorite movies about bikes we like. And we can do everything but getting on it. So it's like, get on that bike. Don't focus on riding it the best or as perfect as you can. Just get on it. Get on that bike and then get off, and you keep doing that. So action in those moments.
Well, to that point, I was sharing with Jay that I've had a guitar. I actually have two guitars in my house, and I've had these guitars for a number of years, but I've never played them at all. Every now and then I just get up and just goof around with it, but never. So in December, I said, I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. I'm signed up for some lessons online. And yeah, I'm to the point, I'm trying to get my fingers all calloused up. And trying to learn these chords. But all of a sudden, the other day, I'm sitting there strumming like, what? And all of a sudden, I can actually see myself playing this instrument.
Hey, that's funny because you're playing it. You're like, I could see myself playing it as you're playing it.
As I'm playing it.
But you're setting a goal. I want to learn to play this.
Yeah.
And you're in the midst of playing it and getting calloused up.
Yeah. And I've told myself, you're not going to set an hour out every day. You're not going to set, you know, on Saturdays, you're going to work for an hour. It's like every day, you're just going to pick it up. So I have it sitting by my couch. And if I'm watching, you know, binge watching Yellowstone or watching a football game or some sporting event, I just pick it up and go, okay, what chord are we working on today? Okay, we're working on the D. How does that feel? Okay, I've got to do this. And I've gotten to the point that after about 10, 15 minutes, I'll put it down and pick it up later, and okay, it's a little bit easier every time. But you just, to your point, you just got to get on the bike.
It's the first time picking up that guitar is the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
The first, because you're establishing a new habit. And I love hearing you say, like, I'm not putting a time limit on it. It's like all I'm going to do is every day I'm going to pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to strum it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes a habit. And then you're like, oh, I heard that was a chord. Now I'm gonna keep going, and that you're building in that habit into your daily routine, and that's the hardest thing. And I think especially around the new year, we do have these resolutions, and we get setbacks because we don't do it, or like life takes over and we didn't pick up the guitar today. It's like it's not about yelling. Goes back to what we talked about. It's not about yelling at yourself. It's like you didn't pick up the guitar today. You're worthless. It's like, no, I'll do it tomorrow. I didn't pick it up today. Okay, I'm gonna do it tomorrow. And then we do it the next day, and it's like it starts slowly becoming that habit. But I think that encouragement and that self-love and that empathy for ourselves and that compassion for ourselves, we learn how to give that to ourselves first. And once you can do that, and once you learn how to do that, then it becomes easier to notice it from other people too.
Absolutely. Well, buddy, I know you got to get back to some water.
Oh, as we're talking, my entire first floor is flooded, but I'm like, I'm going to be on a conversation with Peter at this moment. Come hell, literally hell or high water.
Well, buddy, thank you for your time. Always a pleasure to talk with you. Now that things have settled down here with the new job and stuff, we'll get back in the 2023 more on that monthly schedule, because I do miss our conversations.
Yeah.
They're enlightening. And actually we were having one and I said, well, you're like a therapist for me. So there is that client therapist, you know,
confidentiality.
Yeah.
Right. I never use your name. I always say, I can't talk about it. It's my wife is in the medical field and is very strict about patients and won't even talk about patients or anything, or if she does, she'll just do general statements. And I always say, oh, it's Obama, right? I always say, it's Obama. I got it. She's like, it's not Obama. I'm like, that's what somebody who's treating Obama would say. But it's that same thing. And I think it is, to be completely honest, there's a level of, we have to have a trust and vulnerability. And when you have those with people, the bond is so much stronger and you're like, I can be myself. And I don't think we allow ourselves those moments as much. So hopefully folks who are listening have people in their lives like that, who it's like, we have this definite trust and bond and confidential discussions at times. And so we need those as humans. So thank you for that as well for me.
Oh, thank you. I look forward to our next conversation. And hopefully this year I'll get out to California when it dries out. I'll come visit my brother and I'll come up and visit you as well.
That's perfect. You are more than welcome. I can't wait.
Cool, buddy. All right, man. You take care of yourself and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Peter. Thank you.
I would like to thank Jay for his time, knowledge, and thoughts about how to deal with uncertainty more productively and positively. Remember, there are those people who prefer to say yes, and there are those who prefer to say no. Those who say yes are rewarded by the adventures they have, and those who say no are rewarded by the safety they attain. Be a yes person. And thank you for listening. Bye.
Like what you just heard, visit c-suiteradio.com. C-Suite Radio, turning the volume up on business. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.